Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 154 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap a little bit of nerd news. We're going to begin over in entertainment with some E3 wrap-up, some superhero talk, and explosive diarrhea. And then we'll move over into some tech news and discuss a new breach, the FBI recovering some Bitcoin ransom, and some new legislation proposed. A lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds. Nerds!
All right, episode 154. And this week is, the big week that it should have been was E3 convention season starts.
It kind of happened.
it did, right? Like, I guess it's still a convention. It's still E3. It took place, and let's begin there in the biggest kind of entertainment news of the week.
Yeah, Bethesda kind of opened up for Xbox. You know, they're now a team, and I think Xbox just wanted to really kind of highlight that. So it opened with a big Bethesda showcase, and man. I don't know if it's just because I'm old as shit, but just the way these games look, I just kind of want to play them all. Like, I don't even like some of the gameplay of the games. I'm not a big shooter guy. Like, I'm not, you know, I've never really played Battlefield. I never, like, but watching all these trailers, just how beautiful all the cutscenes look and some of this gameplay, like, so I need to take like a 2 week staycation and lock myself in a room and just fucking game till my eyes bleed.
Yeah. I mean, the recaps that I watched, and I didn't watch all of the E3. I watched a little bit of some of the specific showcase or parts of them, watched several trailers and then some recaps. And yeah, it's, you know, for me, it's me watching a bunch of games that I'm never going to play.
I know. Like, I know.
And they do look phenomenal and almost like overwhelming for somebody who just doesn't play games at all. They all look
like
phenomenal.
Like, what do you mean? Like, you see the game trailer, you're like, oh, that's going to be pushing a lot of buttons.
it for sure. It definitely looks like, yep, that's way more complicated. Like, I'm still at the point.
I'm still trying to master the Hadouken from Street Fighter and y'all over here.
I have hopes of still playing video games. But, you know, like, when I bought Rogue Squadrons when it first came out.
And yeah, I played it twice.
Didn't even play it long enough to just grasp the complexity.
And now
of the
it's on Game Pass.
It looks beautiful. I want to play it, and didn't work out for me. And there's so many games like that that they're just in depth. They're great long stories. And I'm the kind of gamer now that it's like, if I get 15 minutes of play, I just want something I could turn on, do something small, and then turn it off. None of these games look like that, right? They're all these epic stories.
I know. I keep wanting to jump because I'm a big RPG fan, and I keep wanting to jump into the RPGs. And it's like, I just don't have 2 hours right now to actually progress through this fucking story. So yeah, I find up playing the games myself where it's just like, pick it up, you know, shoot a quick round of golf, play a couple rounds of Fortnite, like something that I could just pick it up. And when the kids or the girlfriend come downstairs and we're like, really, you're playing video games? I could just be like, turn off, let my soul weep inside and then go do whatever menial fucking task that nobody else can do in this goddamn house but me.
But let's get away from our depressing existence here and get back to a little bit of E3 news.
Halo is the big one that, you know, Xbox released. They released a bunch of new like gameplay from the multiplayer. It looks good. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I'm gonna have to give it a try. We are very heavy in the multiplayer shooter FPS kind of thing. You got Call of Duty, Fortnite, PUBG, Apex, and a whole slew of other new ones that are going to be coming out. Battlefield's coming out. Like, I don't know where Halo's going to fall in. I know it's going to have its following. We'll see if they can't really pull it out and take away some of these gamers.
Yeah, and I think the big news coming from, like, the specifically while we're still talking about Bethesda and Xbox, you know, the big aspects of it is, I mean, there's a lot of exclusive content coming out of that merger, right? There's a reason why Xbox bought Bethesda, And it's so that way they can come into E3 and demonstrate these games like Starfield, that is entirely going to be an exclusive. And then also, even the games that Bethesda is putting out, like apparently there's a like a Left 4 Dead. I used to love Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, the creators of Left 4 Dead made another zombie game. It looks very similar. They're not calling it Left 4 Dead, I don't think, but it looks very similar.
Yeah, I mean, it's called Back 4 Blood.
Just call it Left 4 Dead 3. Just call
it Left 4 Dead 3.
Like, you know people will buy it.
Back 4 Blood with the number 4 again, like Left 4 Dead. And but, you know, if you're going to play that anywhere else, you're going to pay the $60 cost. That game's going to be free on day one for Game Pass.
And that's what's kind of crazy about it. Like, so many of these games are free day one with Game Pass. Bethesda released, like, almost their entire old library to Game Pass. So if you've never played a lot of their titles, the Fallouts, the Dooms and all that, which I really haven't, they're free. Go play them, you know? Check them out. See if you like them.
I think that's the big news coming out of the Xbox thing is, yes, they have a bunch of exclusives. This deal with Bethesda is huge for them. And it's E3 is kind of the first big showcase of all the things that it's bringing to the table. And then just the long-term value you get out of Game Pass, just demonstrating that you're going to keep getting these high-level content, you know, not just like the indie and smaller producers, but like Bethesda-level games on day one as a part of your Game Pass subscription. And that's a big deal. It's a big selling point for Xbox going forward.
If you own an Xbox, or even if you're a PC gamer, I don't know how you don't subscribe to Game Pass. I really don't understand how you, if you're just like, nah, I'm going to save my monthly. Like, what you get for that dollar value is incredible. Like, it's the fact that they're releasing these games day one, you know, like, you'd rather pay the $60 than just have it for free with your monthly subscription plus the 100 and something, you know, other games that come with it. I don't see how everybody doesn't join up on this thing. Like, if you don't own Game Pass yet, I highly suggest you give it at least a 3-month trial.
Yeah. Well, you know, we can move from Xbox to PlayStation's showcase at E3.
And done.
Okay, yeah. they opted out there. They'll have their own event or something in the future, or whatever it happens to be. But yeah, PlayStation did not join E3, so nothing to talk about there.
Nintendo goes the day we're recording this. We put off recording as far as we could to try to get as many of these stories in that were worth talking about. And Nintendo goes today at noon. So maybe we'll put it in the outline for next week.
That's one I'm most excited about.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really the only thing that I do sometimes steal and play is steal my kids' Switch or play games with the kids on the Switch. So yeah, give me a Breath of the Wild too, and give me some actual new gameplay footage and maybe a release date, and I'm all for it.
No, man, I sacrifice as much sleep as I possibly can to still function as a human to try to game as much as much as possible. The Sandman just stands over me in the recliner, like, is this motherfucker gonna go to bed or what, bro?
Again? Like,
but it's good to see that we're kind of rolling back to a somewhat society that we used to be. We got these conferences coming back. We got some big things on the horizon. You know, unlike the movie industry and the TV industry, I don't think video games took that big of a hit in Corona. I think that they kept just plugging along, let all those nerds work from home. And I think it's going to be a good year for video games. It's going to be pretty big.
It is. Real fast before, do you see the gameplay footage for that Guardians of the Galaxy game?
I haven't yet. I didn't make it that far yet.
It was a big deal about being able to play a Star-Lord and stuff like that. But I mean, it legitimately looks like a solid game. Again, just beautiful kind of gameplay.
They did also release a Sea of Thieves expansion pack, and I've always wanted to try to get into that game. I've tried it twice and I couldn't get into it, but now they have a partnership with Disney and it's all Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, really?
Jack Sparrow, everybody, like a whole big Pirates of the Caribbean expansion pack for Sea of Thieves. And I know that game has a good following, so if you're a Sea of Thieves fan, that's got to be really, that's really cool news to you.
And then for all of those just diehard Avatar fans out there, you get like, but did you see the trailer or whatever else for the game? There's this Avatar game, and I don't, I guess there's people just begging for more Avatar content out there. Or is this James Cameron?
Who are these people? Like,
but we're still getting tons more movies and apparently a video game that actually looks like pretty damn remarkable.
Yeah, no,
when you
like,
look at
visually,
like the world that they built and everything else for the video game. Who knows what the gameplay is going to be like and the story. Apparently people don't really care very much about the story when it comes to Avatar. That didn't hold it back in the first place.
No.
So I
don't do it often, but every once in a while I take one of those like trollish stands where everybody watches something and I'm going to be the dude that doesn't watch it.
Oh, for sure. I've Avatar. Still never seen Titanic. Like from my like
it was my prom
year old days.
That was my prom
when
theme.
Everybody watched it over and over again. I still have yet
to see
that movie.
That was when I begrudgingly boycotted, mainly because I was single at the time and all my buddies had girlfriends and they would go
like
watch. They would see it like
times.
Once a week. And yeah. I'd just be like, no, I'm not going to third wheel it at a Titanic, you fucking schmucks. Like, and Avatar was one of those ones too. Like everybody went to the theater and saw it like 8 times in 3D and everything. And I was just like, nah, I'm good. You know, like I watched it on Blu-ray when it came out later. Like I've seen the movie, but it was one of those things that I just couldn't understand why everybody was just so for the technology that it released at the time and everything. I get it. It was kind of cool, but like it wasn't a good movie. It was, you know, eye porn basically. like let me stimulate some of your retinas. And I never really got into it. And so I don't get excited over the Avatar news. Like I'll participate at this point, but I'm just cool. Good for you.
You know, yeah. Like I said, either way, it's got an interesting looking game coming out for it. So some people are excited, I'm sure.
But I think we'll move out of gaming. If there's something that dropped at E3 that we didn't talk about, drop it in the group. We'll carry on the conversation and the Nerd Cantina Facebook group.
All right, we can move on to the next story. Which is a
fuck China segment that's creeping into our entertainment. Like usually fuck China goes in tech.
And I'm sure somebody's thinking, like, this actually isn't new news. You're right. It's not. We just didn't talk about it and missed it before. And how can we miss this opportunity?
FF9 releases this week. I think it's still timely.
Still somewhat relevant. Yeah, sure.
Still relevant.
but the actual event, what we're talking about is John Cena and his public apology.
Well,
I mean, China
public, but they, you know, they don't really try to promote this. You know what I mean? Like they released it in China and just like keep their fingers crossed that maybe nobody notices, like those old Arnold Schwarzenegger Japanese commercials. like they think if it goes off in that side of the world, maybe nobody over here will catch wind. Well, nope. Twitter and everybody got a hold of you, John Cena.
Because John Cena, in a statement previously, made mention about the country of Taiwan, which really upset his potential Chinese fan base and the release of Final Fantasy IX as they were really talking about boycotting.
I wouldn't even
that.
Say the Chinese fan base. I would just say people that control China.
Sure. I mean, the truth is, there's a lot of public sentiment also in line with believing that Taiwan is a part of China and is not its own independent country. They were looking at boycotts of Final Fantasy IX or Final Fantasy, Fast and Furious 9. And John Cena had to come out and give a public apology stating that, he respects the Chinese people, the Chinese government, and that Taiwan is not, in fact, its own country.
And not just a public apology, like in full on Mandarin. Like this, like I am so impressed how well he speaks Mandarin. Like I thought that maybe they gave him a sheet and he practiced it like for a good hour before he did it, and like just went on. Like, no, the way he spoke Mandarin, this dude's been speaking Mandarin for years. Like this dude's got it down on lock. And I am so impressed with the John Cena, because I got nothing against John Cena, but he looks like a meathead, straight up meathead. He could have brain surgeon skills for all I know, and I'm not trying to take that away from him, but you look like a meathead, bro. Like, and to hear him speaking in full Mandarin like that,
played a gigantic white rapper wrestler for for a long time. Yeah. Like, you're not getting the credit necessarily as being that brain surgeon if that's your actual skill.
Yeah, he looks like that hood ass dude in Tennessee went through like the super soldier program. Just that skinny white dude that thinks he's a gangbanger in like some small town in Kentucky went through the super soldier program and came out, boom, you can't see me. For real.
But yeah, this is it's just interesting. Yeah, I think the most notable thing of it is his Mandarin. For sure it is.
Well, so it just gets me thinking about like how influential China is over our country and how everybody in this country just toes the line. And it's so frustrating to me. Like, I feel like China is just like this Jeff Bezos rich dude. And then every time this country tries to do something that maybe involves them, they're like, imagine China just comes up and, you know, is the Jeff Bezos guy. And he's just like, hey, man, how much to fuck your wife? And you're just like, you can't fuck my wife, bro. And he's like, nope. How much to fuck your wife? Million? 5 million? 10 million? And then and eventually it gets to that number where like you consider it, but then you know your wife's right there. So you're like, nah, bro, nah, I'm going to hold on to my principles. And then they keep going up with that number to where your wife's now even looking at you like, hey, man. Like, we got to get this money. Like, it might not be that bad. And then eventually China fucks everybody's wife. Like, they're just walking around the world fucking everybody's wife, bro.
Yeah. I got to pause and say the detail in which you came up with this analogy. This is not the first time you've thought of this.
No, all day yesterday it was in my head. Yeah, I couldn't get it out. I couldn't get it out.
Oh, really? I was thinking you've got like a new modern screenplay written somewhere.
Oh, if I was an SNL writer, it'd be on TV next week. Next week.
What was the original movie? Like Indecent Proposal? Yeah. You've got a new screenplay of a 2021 Indecent Proposal somewhere.
But that was still like somewhat classy, you know, Robert Redford and like the Demi, and it was like kind of subtle. Like, no, he's the dude that like just sees you on the street and just stops you. Hey. Like the Barstool Sports dudes, like David Portnoy, you know, like David Portnoy stopping you on the street, like, hey, your wife's got a nice ass. Let me fuck your wife. You're like, nah, bro. Like, oh, you're going to get this money. You're going to want this money. You're going to give up all your principles in life in order to get this money. What's your number? Like, and I honestly, I just feel like that's how China operates with all our. Anytime we try to do business with them, they are going to fuck your wife. And that's it's bottom line.
All right. Well, what I won't do on a forever living podcast is ask you what your number is or give up what mine is.
I'm waiting for my wife's eyebrow. When my wife's eyebrow rises, then it's somewhere in that range.
Yeah, what happens when that eyebrow raises at like $2,000 and you're like,
oh, really? Ouch. Ouch.
All right. Let's move on from the analogy into, I guess, just some more fun entertainment. If we're talking about sex acts here.
This is also good.
This is, apparently there was...
that Harley Quinn cartoon is pretty adult. Like they go hard in it. I've watched a few episodes and I was actually quite shocked as to like the amount of like swearing and adult content that is in that Harley Quinn cartoon.
Yeah, and apparently in the Harley Quinn cartoon, there was a potential move for Batman and Catwoman sex scene with Batman performing a little bit of cunnilingus.
Not even a sex scene. Like just Batman eating the cat. Like, I can't believe like the statement that came out and like they said flat out, heroes don't do that. You ask any woman on the street, they're gonna tell you the real heroes do that shit.
I find it hilarious that the whole heroes don't do that comment, and then just everybody chiming in about like, oh, so you're saying heroes and Batman are selfish lovers? And it's like,
yeah,
well, yeah, well, yeah, or maybe not. Maybe he just doesn't like that. But maybe he's not selfish. Man. Dude's got a utility belt full of gadgets. He's all he can perform a lot. Just maybe he doesn't do that.
That's what I just like. The whole statement of heroes don't do that is just like so offensive to like grown ass adults. Like, you know, because if heroes don't do that, I am a supervillain, motherfuckers. Mwahahaha. Like, there's like, you can't like put. I just don't understand like the mindset. If it's an adult cartoon, like let it be adults. Let's be adults and let's act like we all know how the real world works, you know. And if that's the kid's first exposure to cunnilingus, like it could be way worse. You porn is free. You know what I'm saying?
Like, you gotta actually pay for this Harley Quinn shit.
You porn is free. At any moment, they can get some really graphic cunnilingus if the first exposure some young boy or girl is exposed to it is Batman and Catwoman. Isn't that kind of like the birds and the bees version of it? You know what I mean? Like, isn't that the softest entry to that subject that you could possibly have?
Because I don't know, it depends on how they're doing it.
Because I don't want them Googling that. That's for sure. They're not gonna have a good time after that Google search.
I could just imagine at some like, I don't know, a bridge club right now. Is the wife of the exec that made that like public statement that heroes don't do this, and all of her friends being like, "Oh, I'm sorry, honey." I'm sorry.
She's getting like 12 vibrators for Christmas, for sure. Oh man, like he deserves to be trolled. They all deserve to be trolled. Like,
yeah, no, for sure.
You know, if this guy Twitter had a field day with this. Like, you want an hour's worth of entertainment? Just search the fucking
Reddit,
hashtag.
Go to Twitter. Like, go find the threads that are talking about this. Like, heroes don't do this mentality. I just wish there was like a real convention coming up here soon, because you know the Batman cosplay with just like the dripping wet face was happening. It was coming.
I mean, it's the only part that his mask doesn't cover. How does she not ride it?
I mean, yeah. There's too much to this.
This is a great story. Like, leave it to some suits in a fucking boardroom to just ruin everything and bring the lulls, man.
All right, well, let's.
And how do last we, entertainment? How do we not lose our shit on this next story? Like, yeah, I don't, like, what is going on in the world where we can't get through the entertainment section without crying laughing?
Yeah, last entertainment. It's been a while since we've talked about anything
really entertainment. Entertainment so section's been short for weeks.
And this last entertainment one, like, it's not even something we care about. It's no, just
but,
hilarious.
Well, we have to mention but, it, because like, if you haven't heard it, we're doing you a favor right now.
Yeah, in case you haven't somehow stumbled across the fact that there is a TV show apparently called The Ultimate Slip and Slide, which is just taking a slip and slide and using it in all kinds of different weird games like human bowling and all kinds of stuff. And this is like a whole TV show built around a slip and slide.
I'm a big Wipeout fan, so I'm here for it. Like, I watched that crazy ass miniature golf hole in one show. I watch all those game shows because I'm such an arrogant asshole that I believe I could dominate if they ever picked me.
Well, apparently the Ultimate Slip and Slide show had to halt its recording due to over 40 people with explosive diarrhea from a bacteria found in the water on the set that apparently when consumed sent people flying out of the set and shitting themselves regularly with Giardia or Giardia. this is just great.
Well, I mean, me and you have both done like the Spartan runs, and we've had some races canceled on us because, I mean, they leave big ass pools of sitting water out in the sun all day, and like it's bound to happen, right? Like,
yeah,
like we've been social distancing for a year and a half for a virus, but we don't clean the water in our races.
I mean, I public pools exist too, right? Like there's chemical treatment that you do. You're an NBC TV show. You're telling me you can't solve this problem?
Yeah, but like on these runs, ain't nobody chlorine in these this water. Like this is straight hose water.
I'm talking about for sure. Like the Spartan races. Yeah, if you end up with a explosive diarrhea following one of those, just know it's the muddy, gross water you just climbed in. But for like this TV show, I don't know. They shouldn't be using mud water. using hose water here.
I don't know. I mean, this show is yet to release. I don't know what they're doing in there. You know what I mean? Like it's because that Wipeout show, it's like an actual pool with that that they're in. Like this might be, you know, a mud run for all I fucking know. Like I all we know is that bacteria, hot sun, stagnant water, explosive assholes.
Explosive ass diarrhea.
that's how it goes. That's what we know.
All I know is like the host for this is like Funch. I don't know if you know.
I love Ron Funches. I love Ron Funches.
And
one of my favorite comedians.
So Bobby Moynihan. And so I might have to watch it when the show comes back just to hear them just roast their own show.
Ron Funches is one of my favorite comedians on the planet. I love that dude.
But yeah, this is... this is just a great example of you never know what's going to happen in entertainment. 40 some people might go down with explosive diarrhea. Yeah,
got the bubble guts.
All right. Well, that was our longest entertainment section in a while.
We're still not out of it. I mean, we are in the transition for like...
That's true.
The way this is one of our blended topics.
Yeah, but that's one foot in entertainment with some news about Electronic Arts, more video game news, and then a foot into tech with the fact that they made the news this week, not because of E3, but because of an actual breach, getting breached by a hacking group, allowing them to gain access to their source code, primarily like source code that is tied to like the engine that runs FIFA and many of the games that EA runs. It's kind of a big deal losing your source code, losing 780 gigabytes of source code.
I mean, there was a whole movie based on it for the Facebook source code. Source codes, I'm assuming, are pretty important. I don't know much about coding. I don't understand how like people don't reverse engineer these video games to get it anyways. Like you must not be able to get a source code by just reverse engineering these games. They're not the first one, right? We've done a few of these stories where the source code gets jacked. And typically,
Nintendo had a big one not long ago.
And typically, they don't care. Like, who was it that they're just like, yeah, it got stolen. Whatever. We're not going to pay for it. You could just have it.
Yeah, I think that was Nintendo, but it was a lot of older games. The problem with like the current games and the current engines that you're running is when the source code's broken, people can now go and really dissect it, find greater exploits, create greater cheats, create and actually interject in some of the source code. Well,
they jacked the source code for that Unreal Engine too before, right? Didn't we do a story on the Unreal Engine getting jacked? Because I want to say, I remember doing the story and talking about how many fucking video games use that Unreal Engine.
Yeah, I think you're right. They also got the source code in this example. They also got the source code for the matchmaking source code server. So they also have a way to kind of either disrupt or to some way, kind of find exploits and violations into the matchmaking servers. So yes, we need somebody smarter than us to say exactly what can be done. But theoretically, again, they can come up with new hacks for the game. They can come up, they can, disrupt the game. They can come through it and find, various exploits that can be used by malicious threat actors or just people who want to cheat better in FIFA and find an exploit.
Rig it so that you're only playing noobs in the matchmaking the whole time. Get your score up. Yeah, it's hard for me to feel sorry for them. Like your computer company that makes millions and billions of dollars, like lock your shit up. Like how do you not have better protocols for this shit? Like,
I mean, but we see that there's a lot of lack of strong protocols, and we can talk about our next story, and that's tied to that Colonial Pipeline hack or the ransomware, and a lot of money was paid out in Bitcoin, and then the big news a week ago, essentially. You know, we
didn't get to this one last week.
Before the release
week.
Of our episode. It happened before we released our episode, but after we recorded. And that was that the U.S. Was able to recover a pretty sizable amount of the Bitcoin ransom that was paid to the Dark Side hacker group for the Colonial Pipeline. And this is a really interesting aspect of this. You know, this goes against the whole concept. You know, the FBI and the government wants to say that, you know, Bitcoin is just for criminals and it's enabling criminals and it needs to be stopped because of it. And then meanwhile, you also have a lot of other people saying, one of the best things that ever happened for the FBI is Bitcoin becoming a thing because it's
completely traceable.
It might be anonymous. It might be hard. Like, you don't know whose crypto's wallet is whose. But if the Colonial Pipeline or whoever's hacked tells you they're going to pay the ransomware, it's very easy to unwind that transaction and track that down to a specific crypto wallet, follow that money until eventually that gets converted over to something else or move somewhere else. Or in this case, makes it into a crypto wallet in a country that you can obligate that crypto exchange or the wallet to turn over those funds.
Yeah, I don't understand why they don't consider this like better than cash money. Because you drop off a duffel bag of cash, bye-bye, it's gone. Like, you're never going to see it again. You have minimal ways of tracing that cash and getting it. And criminals have multiple ways to launder that and make it so that they can use it. Like I said, with this crypto, how do you not just follow the line of where it goes? Every transaction's traceable. Every transaction's marked. You know, like you said, it may just go to a numbered wallet. But if you know that that's the ransom, and eventually you just take it right back. Might not be valued as the same as when they paid it, but
yeah. And it's still, you know, not a ton of information out there as far as how the FBI actually seized the money. You know, it's not what originally was being reported, that they like hacked the crypto wallet and they stole it. Like, that's not a thing. That's not what happened here. More than likely, it was you know, a crypto exchange operating in the U.S. Or a wallet that was operating and that they were able to essentially seize. But this just goes to show that there's a way. I'm sure. However, this was found out by the FBI. Dark Side's not going to use that right that same system anymore. They're going to find a better way, and it's going to be this constant cat and mouse between law enforcement and criminals. But it does just show, the money's not untouchable. And it's 100% traceable. It's just anonymous. You don't know who owns it for now.
And yeah, well, that stuff out later. Lately, the government's been really trying to badmouth crypto. Not that crypto's perfect. And, you know, there are energy consumption, you know, risks and economic risks to crypto taking, you know, a bigger place in the world. But just the way the government goes about, like, looking at it and handling it, it's not a genuine kind of sentiment that comes out from our government. I just watched the big thing that Elizabeth Warren released, and that was just a shit show. You know,
yeah,
like literally talked about crypto like every crypto is Bitcoin and everything was this, you know, like we need, you know, we can't use this because of the energy consumption. And it's like, do you realize that there are viable coins that use a fraction of what Bitcoin does? But it's just the name that everybody knows, right? Unless you listen to our show or you're into crypto, really Bitcoin's the only one that's a household name. So they just shit on Bitcoin trying to get people to kind of have like a negative outlook on crypto because it is decentralized and the government doesn't really have control of it yet, you know? And it's going to be hard when the FBI is like, hey man, like, hey, we did something good with it. Like, it helped us out. Yeah.
I don't know. To me, it's definitely an interesting concept. I want to see, you know, are the FBI going to release more statistics in the future of them seizing crypto assets, seizing crypto wallets, or you know, these ransomwares? It's a very interesting concept, right? The whole concept of Dark Side being this essentially for hire ransomware middleman, and then them processing essentially the ransom itself for whatever, you know, client they have. That's an interesting aspect of the ransomware side. And then now this is another interesting aspect of where we're at in the state of ransomware and crypto.
I'd like to know where our government is doing to try to catch organizations like this. I mean, they have a whole team of FBI agents that act like 13-year-old and 14-year-old boys to catch pedophiles all the goddamn time. You know what I mean? Like, do they not have a room full of dudes trying to buy hacking codes so they can try to figure out who these dudes are and how, like, because highly disappointed.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would bet they would, but,
We assume so, but we also assume that the government can do a lot of other shit that they don't fucking do.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't like assuming anything when it comes to the federal government at all, state or municipal. Like, really, I don't like to assume anything the government.
Well, I mean, let's talk about the ranging capability of a government with this next story. And I find this next story absolutely fascinating. Like, this is like movie level interesting to me.
Oh, this is devs gone evil.
And, well, maybe. I'm trying to see the link to devs, but
quantum computing.
No. Oh, you're skipping one. That's why. Oh. I was like, where are you at? Yeah, so the next article is nope, I'm wrong. You're right.
That's
let's do
like,
quantum computing.
Motherfucker, it's right there in my face.
All right. Yes, quantum computing. Devs. Evil. Got it. To go along with that, the hacking news and cybercrime, then we've also got some organizations. There was an organization. Now, this is news coming out mostly because they're promoting themselves. It looks like they're a British company that they're looking to go public. So they're talking about it, talking about what their company does. But the interesting aspect is that, you know, there's this company, Arkit, that is purely focused on helping companies prepare for quantum hacks. Now, quantum computing still isn't a thing. It's not accessible to anybody, right? It's still a theoretical thing that only like Google and IBM can fund testing these. But the expectation is within 10 years, there more than likely will be some level of quantum computing taking place. Yeah. And the day that happens, all old encryption standards are
done
or obsolete. Yeah. Like anybody who wants to use quantum computing,
yeah, there's only a matter of time before your fucking phone can do it, right? Like it's only a matter of time before everybody has a Watson in their motherfucking pocket.
Yeah. So the whole company is based in trying to now promote the fact that the old standards of public key infrastructure encryption, it was developed back in the 70s. It cannot hold up in the future, and there are already currently whatever body votes on these things about making a new standard, of encryption, a new standard of securing kind of computer-to-computer interfaces through the internet. That standard will get voted on and get accepted here soon. Like there's already a solution on how to better strengthen the networks. The problem is, you know, the companies are not going to go bend over backwards to adopt this before quantum computing. Like, they're not going to do it proactively. The government might do some of it proactively. Corporate America will not until there's a monetary benefit to it. And then all of a sudden, they're going to be lagged behind until it's essentially too late.
Oh, yeah. Like, so my fear with quantum computing really isn't in the private sector. It's in the public sector, because the first country that cracks this is got however many months or years before the next country gets it to defend themselves. They got free reign over data throughout the world, right? Like China cracks quantum computing. They can hack our entire grid. They can hack our nuclear system. They can hack everything just based that isn't air gapped, right? Like,
yeah. And that's what the thought is, and the concern is, again, we'd have to talk to somebody who really kind of looks into these things, or we'd have to invite somebody from this company to punch themselves and come on our podcast to talk about, like, what is the new standard that they're talking about? Why does it actually solve this problem? Like, supposedly there is a new standard that will solve this, that will, if everybody adopts it before quantum computing, it's not going to be a big deal. We just know, like, there should be zero faith that we're going to actually accept a new standard and spend the money and effort to roll over to a new standard before it's too late.
Yeah, no, we don't do things proactively in this country. We don't do it with our health. We don't do it with anything. You know, we wait till it breaks, And then we try to figure out the best way to throw a fucking Band-Aid on it. And we don't even do that very well anymore. So this is kind of like a scary thought. Once again, why we do the show. Hopefully you start thinking about it. You care. And man, bring it up to your congressman. Let them know, like, this is something I care about. This is something that I'm afraid of. What is our country doing to protect ourselves?
All right, now, you know, I screwed up my perfect transition from FBI to...
You made the outline, motherfucker.
I know. I ruined my great transition here. So let's just awkwardly go back to the story I started talking about here. And it's an interesting story where this is in Australia, in conjunction supposedly with the FBI, or being monitored by the FBI. But the Australian Federal Police, they made hundreds of arrests and seized, it was like $35 million worth of assets and cash from criminal enterprises in Australia through what is an impressively elaborate just scheme to roll up a bunch of criminals. And the way this happened was, in Australia, there were these phones circulating around being used exclusively by criminals. They were not phones hooked up to anything else. They didn't, they weren't, like, you couldn't make phone calls or anything on. They were phones that were completely kind of just
burners. Jailbroken. Yeah, burner phones
with just a very specific app that was like an end-to-end encryption communication tool app that you had to have be like invited into, that the black market and criminals were using to pass information. And it was deemed like the most secure communication that you could ever possibly have. Interesting aspect is, those phones from day one were circulated by the Australian Federal Police, that they created these devices, created this app, created this false narrative about how secure these things are, probably convinced some like low-level people up first, and then just let this just organically spread along criminal enterprises. And then all of a sudden, they just had, you know, the email passwords, essentially. Like, they just knew all of the communication coming from all these criminal enterprises until eventually they needed to move on all of them, move on whatever ones that were open.
And that's why, again, I'm assuming we even know about this story, is because they had to have, like, they had to have released, like, evidence in court and made it public that they got this evidence from the phone, because this is such a good scheme that there's no way you let this get out in the public if it still could, you know, like, still working. Yeah, like,
it can still work. I mean, it's an amazing, like I said, this is like a movie can be made about some nerd who makes this phone or whatever else, and then all these arrests that take place from this special unit or whatever else. You know, again,
some dork
suspects
in the Australian police department's getting a medal. Yeah, some really big nerd in the Australian police department is getting a medal right now.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal use of resources and ingenuity here. And like, what I really would like to know is, like, how many crimes did they just know of and just let keep going? Like, how long did this go for? That's some data that I haven't really seen. It says that I think it started in 2018 is what I've seen, that these phones have been in circulation. So you've got to assume that they've been monitoring, like, criminal activity for 3 years. And, like, I don't know, what was the final straw that was like, okay, we can't keep this a secret any longer. Like, we've got to move.
For real. Like, what did you let by for the sake of the big picture, you know? And, like, if you're a victim of these crimes, it's hard to kind of rationalize, like, you know, oh, you could have saved my fucking entire business from being robbed and you didn't because you wanted to get so-and-so. Oh, thanks. You know, glad my tax dollars went to it. But you understand it. Like, it's one of those shitty subjects that nobody wants to talk about because it doesn't sit well with your, like, moral compass internally. But, you know, I just hope it has nothing to do with pedophilia. Like, that's all I know. Yeah. Is like let some drug transactions go down. I don't care. Couple robberies that you can receive the money from, sure. You know what I mean? Like, maybe even, you know, if you could have stopped murders, you probably should have. But if you know who killed so-and-so because of it, there's no moratorium on that. You can just go get them after all this information is released. But if you let some little kids get diddled, I'm sorry, man. Yeah, you should have shut it down.
And like I said, it would be interesting. And you got to think the network of this to solve. So apparently these phones ended up getting spread across 18 different countries. It took over 9,000 police officers across these countries to just even maintain this operation, to watch over this operation. This phone became so widespread in criminal enterprises that probably far exceeded their initial expectations. But it was like, this is a phenomenal use of
this is like
nerds.
This is like fear adjacent to things we talk about on this show all the time. It's like they at least created their own phone, created their own app, put it out there. This is like a modern day version of like the box and a stick with a piece of cheese underneath it. Like they did the whole fucking thing. What we constantly worry about is the government just telling companies, telling companies like yeah. Signal, or telling companies like Facebook Messenger that like, no, you just got to give us all the shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is very close. Like if the government wants to make their own phone and you buy it, like, man, that's on you. I have no problem with that whatsoever.
That is one of the reasons why I'm celebrating this, and not, is because they went the extra steps that they didn't put it on a Google phone, right? They didn't put it on an Android.
They didn't infringe on anybody's freedom or privacy. Yeah. They said, if you want to use this phone, like use this phone. Like there might have been some small print in the manual of the phone when you bought it that just said like, "Hey, mom, like we watching," you know. But yeah. I really like the extra hoops they jumped through to install this, rather than just everything that Snowden fucking uncovered that our fucking country does, and what they want to do by revoking 203 and all this other shit. Like the American government wants to do it the lazy way and just take our shit. Towards the Australian government was like, no, we'll spend a little money, we'll set the trap, we'll see who falls in.
Yeah. No, it's a completely different story. You're right. If this was this, Anom app, which is what the phones were that using, if that just existed on the Play Store and it was just a government kind of shell app, I would have a big, much bigger problem about it. But yeah, the fact that again, this was
I don't even have a problem with the government secretly creating an app that you personally download. My big problem is them taking apps that are already established that have a sound customer base that trusts that company, and then coming in like the Chinese government and saying like, no, now you're part of us and we want it. If the government came out with a Signal 2 app and just spent a bunch of money marketing it on TikTok for everybody to fucking use, and everybody switched over and it was just this government fucking shell, I'm almost okay with that. Because
no way.
The Australian government made a hard phone with an app. Why do they need to make the hard phone? Why can't they just make an app?
Because then it was very specifically built towards.
No one forced you. No one forced. No one forced you to download the app. No one forced you to download the app.
No, but if you put it in the Play Store and you just build it as a privacy app, that's completely different, right? You're rolling up on normal everyday people and reading their messages.
Normal everyday people didn't buy one of those Australian phones. You can guarantee me that.
Maybe a handful of did.
What's the difference? What's the difference if it's a handful or a whole bunch? It's still the same premise. Like if you're okay with that, like you can't, like you're okay with just minor collateral damage, not major.
Yes. I mean, that would be, that's the general way we do business. There's never a system.
But true, like you can't guarantee that a bunch of just poor people that couldn't afford iPhones just didn't buy these cheap criminal burner phones. I mean, I still know people with flip phones. I still know them. You know what I mean?
But they use them to make phone calls, not to just communicate to the handful of other people that have the specific device.
There's some 60-year-old Aussie old lady that just bought a phone because that she didn't want all the doodads and everything, and
she went to the black market to buy it. Get it? All right, we're now debating hypotheticals, and we've got another big story to talk about before we wrap up on it. This nerd news here.
All right, drop it in the group. Let's get down to this. I want to know your opinions.
Congress is making another step this week towards breaking up big tech. Another antitrust style bill is proposed by Congress. This one specifically kind of targeting, it's really targeting like Google and Apple. It's looking very much about the interplay between markets. So looking at breaking up or trying to regulate out certain aspects of, you know, when a company has one primary purpose, but then that allows them to have access to everything else, right? Like, so looking at Android and or Google and saying that if Google is a search company, then they can't prioritize their search on any of their devices, right? They can't mix those. So then them owning Android and then forcing Google search onto to their devices is a violation of this new act. So it's very much trying to say, if you're going to have a multi-laned approach to your business, those lanes cannot overlap. You cannot show preferential treatment across your platforms, across your various business entities.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if this has teeth, really. I don't know if this is going to stick. It's good to hear them somewhat caring about shit we've been screaming about for two fucking years now. But I just don't know if this is really the start of solving some of these problems, or if this is just a shot in the dark to make this younger generation that cares about big tech and things feel like the government's fighting for them. I don't know where this kind of lands with me.
I don't know if it's going to be effective. It does kind of make sense in the sense that you have these handful of companies that have all the money in the world to buy everything. And then, you know, you got Amazon, who is the aggregator of a bunch of people selling stuff, but then they also sell stuff, right? They're Amazon Basics brands and these other brands that are owned by Amazon. And then when you search stuff, the top rated listing or whatever else is Amazon Basics. And that's the one that you're going to see
well,
right
it's
away.
Like,
and
like, it's like Amazon owns Ring. You can't buy a Nest on Amazon. You can't buy their competitor's product on Amazon.
Right. And that's what they're saying.
Yeah, this is kind of what I'm hoping this kind of breaks up, is that if you're a store, then be a fucking store. I should be able to buy what I want on your fucking store. But when the store starts investing in products, they're going to limit your selection on fucking products. And now that is not a free market for competitive products.
Yeah. And especially on like the Amazon Basics side, where it's oftentimes very simply made products that the second something becomes popular, Amazon says like, oh, I can make that phone case. Oh, yeah. I can make those batteries. Yeah. Oh, I can make, you know, the second it hits a certain number, then all of a sudden there's an Amazon Basics knockoff of that exact same thing. And then that becomes the top of every search. And so I believe that there's going to be an effect if this can get approved. Truth is, I never have any faith that any of these things get approved anyway.
No.
But whatever. At least it's up for a vote.
Yeah, it's good that antitrust is being, like, just the fact that we can say this word in a news story on the show is kind of a good thing. But, again, no faith in the government.
All right. And then final story. Let's end with some space. And this is just going back to, we talked about it for the last 2 months, is this auction of the Blue Origin seat. You know, last week we announced that Jeff Bezos confirmed that he's going up on that first flying phallic item to space. And
his brother, the Bezi. would that be the plural of Bezos's?
Sure, let's go with it. And then the other seat, the seat that was auctioned up, apparently goes for $28 million.
Does that feel cheap to you?
A little bit, I think.
I thought it was pretty cheap. Yeah, I thought it was pretty cheap because you got a lot of billionaires out there. $28 million ain't shit to a billionaire.
Yeah,
you know, like, I mean, like if you're a billionaire,
I thought
you make that back while you're
level.
On. Yeah, you make that back while you're on the ship. If you're a billionaire, like you're making $28 million on the ride, so you get back. It was a wash.
Yeah,
you
know, I thought you were getting at least like Beeple level, right? Like 70 million.
Yeah.
Maybe 100 million. Maybe just crest over a little 100 million. Somebody, you know, throws out the $101 million.
There's a lot of people in the world that could afford 28 million. Let's put it like that. Like I thought this would be a more exclusive like kind of group that bought this seat, you know, like there's really not a all-star sports player that couldn't afford this ticket.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm especially knowing that the final bid won for $28 million, I'm even more upset that it wasn't Elon Musk. Because that dude wiped his ass with $28 million. And the fact that he didn't buy this and like make some homeless person wear a SpaceX t-shirt and go on this rocket.
No, bro, like Elon gives no fucks. Elon should go on it and make it the most awkward space ride on the planet. Like the most awkward fucking ride ever.
Yeah, no, it's disappointing to me that this didn't end up being Elon.
Do we know who bought it? Like, I didn't go through the article that far.
It's true. Is it still anonymous? It didn't say a specific name.
Yeah, I didn't think it did. But someone will get down to this.
Yeah, but either way.
28 mil gets you to space.
Somebody's going to clearly demonstrate to the world when they step foot on that rocket that they have disposable income.
Yeah.
They have very much disposable income.
How many chicks in mini skirts, you know, with bleach blonde hair and big fake tits are going to be on a landing pad? we have bottle rats and then we're going to have rocket rats.
Well, that's weekend news. And, let us know what you think about some of these topics. Join over at thenerdcantina.com/community. Join us over there at Facebook. Settle some of the debates that we've had today and your thoughts on some of these
topics. Let us know how much to fuck your wife.
Okay. We'll know who the true listeners are when somebody posts in there.
Just drops my number
is 1.2. Oh, I really hope I see at least one.
I know, please, somebody, please, somebody. Post.
No context needed.
Nope.
Just drop your number. All right, but with that said, that's the weekend news. Thanks again for listening. Share things and ratings, reviews, all that stuff.
Pound buttons,
and then join us. Just most importantly, join us again next week, and we'll recap a little more news. Until then, see you, nerds.
See ya.